Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, Owensboro. I'm glad to be here with you today to get to talk to you just for a few minutes. I'm here with my father-in-law, Pastor David Brown. He's pastored Victory Church for how many years now, Pastor?
36 now.
Got 36 years in the saddle here, and you already know that Victory Church and River City Church are becoming one. We're super excited about that. There's going to be an official service where that happens coming up in January. And really, Victory Church and the influence that I had in my life when I first got born again, and for many years through Pastor David, it's helped shape the DNA of River City Church in a lot of ways. And I've said it a bunch of times, I think I'd be dead without his influence, so thanks for not letting me die in the 90s. I appreciate that.
I love you, Brian.
I love you. And a guy gave me a daughter to marry too, so I'm forever in debt. But when you look at the DNA of our church and who we are as a people, one of the main things you'll see is that we are a soul-winning church. Come on, we're a soul-winning church.
Yep.
And I think it's what we're created to be and created to do. And so we value souls that are here in America. We value souls in Owensboro. We value souls in Amarillo. But we also value souls abroad. And Jesus said this in Matthew 28, verse 18. You've heard this. This is very famous. This is a great commission. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. See, Jesus commanded that we would go into the whole world and win everybody, every race, every tongue, every tribe. I think I picked up that heart and that understanding that people are valuable and they need to be one from you and your ministry. And Pastor David, I don't know, many of you probably know this, some of you don't, has been involved in missions work for many years. And some people get bit with the missions bug. Some people, you've talked to people and it's like they just don't get it, right? Mm-hmm. You're like talking about winning people and they're like, well, there's good stuff to do here. They don't see the world. Tell me how you got bit with that bug. What happened? You
know? Well, I've got to say, I did grow up in a church where I was taught the Great Commission consistently all through my childhood and my teenage years. And when I became serious about serving the Lord in my early 20s and was filled with the Spirit, that just had germinated in me and really took off. When I began to pastor my first church at age 26, I immediately built that in because it was just in me. It had been taught in me. I don't think people come up with this naturally, but I believe we're discipled. But we have to disciple people along those lines, just like how to live their lives, how to please the Lord with their lifestyles. So that Great Commission you just quoted out of Matthew 28, it's repeated in another form in Luke 24, another form in Mark 16. And then in Acts 1, Jesus is repeated. He gave his disciples not just a vision for a church, not just a vision for a neighborhood, not just a vision for a city or a state, but actually for the whole world. He said, I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, then Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's the heartbeat of Jesus. And so I really believe the more we get the heartbeat of Jesus, the more we see that what we've got is the best news known to man, and that we start in our own city, but eventually we are called on by God to reach out to the whole world in some fashion. And I think just the Word of God and the examples that were set before me worked in me just like it sounds like it worked in you. It's a beautiful thing, though, to be a part of God's worldwide vision. It's big. God's vision is big.
Amen. He's a massive God. He's got a whole world to reach.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Bible says God so loved the world, right? That he gave his only begotten Son. He loves the whole world. The Bible says that Jesus himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world.
The sins of the world.
Yeah, Jesus died for the world. And reaching the world and seeing past ourselves is so, so important. I want us to be a church and I want us to be a culture. This is my prayer, this is my dream, and it's already happening and will continue to happen. Is I want us to be a group of people that live with our head up, our eyes up. Mm-hmm. We look alive. Like Jesus said this, he said this to his followers once upon a time. He says, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, they're white, they're ready for harvest. He said, pray to the God of the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And I think so many people, they never really get in the game of winning people. And so they never really have the real benefit or the joy of what it is to be a Christian worker. Tell me your life. I mean, you've served right now. You've done 59 crusades in the nation of Honduras, getting ready to do a 60th one. You've done crusades in India. You preach the gospel all over the world. Tell me, is that still seeing people come to the Lord? I mean, it never gets old, does it?
Absolutely not. I mean, 10 days ago, I was in Central America, and I had the opportunity to preach on the radio, on television, in 4 different churches. I did 5 services in 4 churches. And wow, to see the hunger of the people of Central America, Honduras specifically, their hearts are so open. And it's that way in India. Wow, I could tell you stories about just the hunger, the absolute hunger, heart-wrenching hunger in people to hear good news, to hear about a God that loves them. And to tell you the truth, if you ever get outside the boundaries of the United States, anytime you're out of this country, you see a hunger in the rest of the world that you just honestly don't see here, because we've had so much Christian influence in our culture. We hear it all the time from our neighbors, our friends, television, radio. But out there, they don't have the knowledge that we have. And I'm telling you, I'm just as thrilled now as I was years and years and years ago when I first started, to go and try to feed that hunger, because people really want to know what we know. They really want to have who we have. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to this planet, and it's actually sinful to keep him to ourselves. Jesus is not about just David having peace and having a nice life, living in Amarillo and having some friends. And when Christians begin to mature, they've got to get beyond that kind of mentality. Mature, to really become who God called us to be, we have to be more than me-minded. We have to even be more than my church-minded. We've got to be kingdom-minded. God is establishing his kingdom in the earth. And the most exciting, wonderful work project you can ever be involved with is advancing his kingdom at large. This world needs Jesus. And that makes my heart beat. It really does.
Amen. You know, we have people right here in our church today. Ryan and Layla Thompson, they also got bit with the missions bug.
Yes, awesome.
You know, we have a couple of great opportunities coming up, and that is Pastor David and us as a church. We're going to complete what will be our 60th Miracle and Salvation Crusade in the nation of Honduras, mm-hmm. coming up this March. So that's Fiesta de Milagros, a party of miracles, which is going to be awesome. It'll be over the top.
And we're putting a package together where people can go with us from Amarillo or from Owensboro area. And getting some prices down. We're getting some group prices with our airlines.
It's awesome.
Where people can go and experience it with us.
It's so good to give people an opportunity to do that so they can see, be exposed to that kind of work.
Absolutely.
And it seeds things into people's hearts.
Absolutely. You know, it changes your life.
It changes your life. So Ryan and Layla Thompson are getting ready to come up. We just wanted to let you know that we're a church that's reaching the world and let you be a part of it, expose you to this. But Ryan and Layla are casting a net, and they work with Life Impact International. Ryan and Layla have been there for 5.5 years now, where we assist in rescuing kids from the sex slave industry. Then once you rescue them, you know, you got a kid.
Right.
You got to raise, right? Yep. It's not just rescue, it's also raising. And so a lot of people, you talk about rescuing kids, that sounds like, oh, we're going to, you know, just run around like a SWAT team. But once the kid's rescued, now you got to feed that kid. You have to clothe that kid. You have to educate that kid. Now you're parenting this kid. So Life Impact has a ton of houses. I'll let Ryan and Layla come and talk to you about that. But what they've been doing for the last 5 years, they came right out of River City Church, got their hearts touched by the gospel, got the missions bug, saw what God was doing on the Thai-Burma border. And Ryan's been there overseeing the building project. I think he's built like 20-some-odd houses.
Wow.
Layla has been helping design those properties and assisting there. They've had a ton of kids while they're there out of the nation. I love them. I'm so proud that they're out of River City Church. I'm so proud that you guys represent us. I'm so proud for what you've done. I'll tell you, we love you. We're excited. I want them to come up and share with you for a little bit about what God's been doing in their life. Come on, we got a hometown hero. Let's stand up and give Ryan and Layla a hand clap as they come. We love you guys and appreciate you.
Thank you. It's not us, it's God. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Good morning, River City.
Here you go.
Thank you. We'll try again. Good morning, River City Church. This is an awesome day to be in the house of the Lord. The first service we got to witness our two children be baptized and publicly profess their faith right over there. And I want to congratulate anyone who's making that commitment today. It's awesome. We're especially proud of our kids. We want to, yes, please. We want to thank Pastor Brian and Pastor Jesse for allowing us another opportunity to come here and share with all of you a little bit about what's on our heart and about our ministry, Casting a Net. We want to thank them for their leadership. They're amazing pastors. They have been so supportive to us with prayer, with finances, with guidance, just everything. We're so grateful for them and for you, for your support and prayers over the many years that we've been over there serving. We couldn't be there without your help, so thank you very much. We want to share with you a little bit about our ministry in designing and constructing safe homes for children on the other side of the world, serving with Life Impact International, and we have a short video that help explain a little bit about what we're doing.
The whole reason I even came here was because I heard about children. I heard how they are being sold. I heard that a child's virginity can go for as much as $3,000 in Bangkok. I heard 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds being sold down for child prostitution. I heard about this 8 years ago. What would happen is that somebody would come and they'd come to the village and they'd say, I'll give your child a future. I'll take them to school. I'll have them be a housemaid in somebody's house and they'll have a better future. And I heard how these poor villagers, they didn't know anything, so they trusted them, and so they let them go, and they never heard from their children ever again. They never heard from the girls ever again. And then later on down the line, the girl would call, but because she had AIDS, if she would be sold when she's about 8 or 9, they have to service about 20 men a day. And then some of them get AIDS at 12 years old. And so and after you have AIDS, you can't live that much longer. And so they die at 14 and 15. These girls, their lives would just begin and then their lives end. I mean, when we heard about these things, that's when our hearts just exploded and it was, okay, we got to do something. This big organization told us, there's kids trafficked daily here, but we have nowhere to take them. Nobody will do it. Everybody's scared. And so we said, I just felt in my heart, I heard God say, you do it. And so we just told him, just with no fear, nothing, we're going to do it. We're going to start a shelter. And he said, you start a shelter, I'll get you 10 children that would have been sold tomorrow. And that's what happened. It just exploded like that. And so I just look at it all, and the heart isn't just like you're doing a good thing because of this problem or why, but the heart is, these kids were Muslim and Hindu and Buddhist and all these other religions. They would have never known Jesus. They would have lived a life of hell, and their gods would have never been able to help them. And that's what we believe for every home that we start, that not only they're safe and they're protected, yes, but it's a whole generation that rises up in this nation and changes it all, changes this nation, stops it, puts an end to it, just at the root of it all, by bringing the gospel, bringing Jesus Christ, bringing the good news news to this country, to this very dark country, bringing the light. And we just believe it's going to be done through these children and through the first children and through this next generation, and that all of it's going to be stopped at the root, just completely at the root. And that's what we believe.
So like Pastor Brian said, we've been on the mission field now for 5.5 years, and we were there for 3 straight years without returning stateside. And I'd like to give you guys an update on some of the things we accomplished in those 3 years. We designed and constructed 6 rescue homes, along with a transition home. And that's a transition home, by Thai law, all the children in our area that are rescued out of an abusive situation must enter the gates of our facility. We also developed and installed a sanitation system that collects all of our water from our houses and cleans it. And we created and constructed roads, added utility lines around the land, dug 2 separate wells to get wash water because the city doesn't help us with that. And we also built 2 cement water storage tanks to store that water. Also, we built a bridge that connects our promised land to the new land. And that land was purchased because of the number of rescue kids that we've been coming in has increased, and we need more space for them to have homes. We also built a perimeter safety wall around that land for security reasons. And currently, we're building 4 houses and a security building. We've also already begun designs on building projects for 2019. And just before we left, we finished construction on a worship center that's for our Life Impact family and staff.
When preparing to share with you this morning about the process it was to build the worship center, I was reminded of an incident that had occurred about 3 years ago while walking along a seashore with my then 2-year-old son. And I've just never seen a beach that was littered with more pebbles and stones and shells. They were absolutely everywhere. And the sun would just shine so brilliantly on the facets of those stones and sparkle the most brilliant palette of rose and gold and pearlescent hues. It was the most beautiful sight. But there was an interrupting of the crashing waves, and it was from my 2-year-old child, and he was screaming out. He's particularly spirited, and so he's got a scream that resembles the shrill call of a tea kettle boiling. And he says to me, he goes, "Mama, look, I'm gonna paint this one." And he's holding this rock out in his hand. Well, knowing my child is just wildly creative, and like I've said before, he just lays around like in paint and rubs around on the canvas. He's just going to come up with something really unique. And I was excited to see what little treasure he had found. And I go to peek down at his hand, and I just immediately felt like my face looked disgusted. And I thought to myself, that's got to be the ugliest rock on this entire shore. How did he manage to find the one rough in all the diamonds? And I nearly told him, maybe you should go find a different one. That's awful. That sounds so bad. But I could tell he was already in love with what he had found. It was so precious to him. And over here, I'm thinking, that's the most dull and uninspiring canvas. But the Holy Spirit convicted me with a strong urgency to do something, and that was just to shut up. Don't say anything at all. And I realized in that moment that that stone, that dull and uninspiring canvas, was me. Because around this time, we were beginning to meet and discuss the plans to build the worship center. We met with some of the other missionaries. We were all collectively coming together, and it was a much bigger project than what we had been doing. We had been doing the single-family style homes, and then we had this project of intimidating size, and I just immediately thought, oh, I'm not qualified enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't know. Just a slew of reasons why I didn't think I had any business doing this. And you know, some people quit. They just, you know, this is too much. I'm done, you know. But I moved my whole family to that place to follow that calling that God had put in my life. And I had to just be obedient and step out in faith and believe that God was going to do something awesome. And he began to do a work in me. He began to show me that despite my inadequacies and my potential inabilities, my fear of failure, all those things I had conjured up in my head, he was going to use me. I was the perfect canvas to do a great work. He was going to do a great work in me and through me. Yeah. You know, just like my two-year-old son, he had a plan for that stone in his hand. Our Father in heaven has a plan for us. He has a plan for you. He never makes the wrong choice. He always makes the perfect choice for the perfect canvas to display his glory. And I was hoping and praying that God would use me to create something, that he would do something awesome through me. He would do a master creation. And, you know, my focus just began to shift. It moved from on me, thinking who I'm not, and started focusing more on Jesus and who he is, which is where it should have been all along. Because I am only qualified through my faith and through his grace, and I'm empowered by his love. And, you know, it has been 3 really challenging years to get that building built, but it is completed. Last week they were having a Christmas ceremony in there, and they have been having a good time in that space. And it's, you know, without a doubt, like from the beginning of that process to the end of that process, that God is going to be glorified in cross-cultural praise. We know that that space is going to be a place of wholeness and holiness, and it's going to be a lighthouse for his children and for the generations to come. We hope and we pray that all of those souls that wander in there understand their desperate need for a Savior, for God's good grace, his love, his provision of answers, his leadership, his guidance, his peace, his comfort, all of those good things that come from him. And despite, you know, understanding our inabilities, we are not going to let that stop us from stepping out in obedience and faith. And we're so excited for the good work that's going to happen in there. And I just reflected on how my son was thoughtfully rolling that stone in his hand. And I was reminded that I, too, am in my Creator's hand. He's the master artist, the one that transforms me and you daily into a creation that he can be pleased with. I want to share a quote. "The weaknesses and cracks in our earthen vessel lives serve as windows for his glory and his strength to shine through." We need to understand that our greatest qualification in life is our faith. And we must hope that his holy, righteous love and light will be reflected through our lives even more brilliantly than all the painted shores in the world. Because the one that boasts, boasts in the Lord. Being unqualified is the very reason that Christ can be glorified through you. When you give him all the glory and all the praise, you become the most magnificent find in a sea of stones and shells, chosen and precious to him.
Amen. You know, I want to talk about a man who boasts in the Lord, and this man was David. And David, just as a shepherd boy, went to a bed of a stream and picked up 5 smooth stones. Those stones in that area of the world are actually made out of brimstone. And brimstone is one of the hardest stones known to man, and it's an especially a devastating tool when used with a weapon such as a sling. Back in that day, the sling was used like an archery, like a bow and arrow format. It was used for long-range fighting, not like a sword, which is short-range fighting, which is what Goliath had. And so, you know, Satan often tries to get us, whenever we're in a fight, to have us fight in a way that when we're defending ourselves, looks impossible. However, many times God has another way for us to fight the battles, and it's an easier and an unexpected way. And the easier way is through the knowledge and the Word of God, guidance by the Holy Spirit, and the use of talents and gifts that God has already given us with our trainings. You know, David picked up those 5 stones, but he didn't need all 5 to defeat Goliath. He only needed 1. You know, David was really good with a sling. It says in Judges 20:16 that at that time, 700 men could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. And I believe that David's skill was of this caliber or close, considering he had already killed a bear and a lion, which is way better than I've ever done. I've only killed an 8-point buck from long range with a modern-day rifle. So David chose those five stones not only to kill Goliath, but to symbolically kill Goliath's four sons, to wipe out the line that threatened Israel. You can read about Goliath's four sons in 2 Samuel 21, 16 through 22, and I believe the King James Version says it best. Before we ever enter into spiritual battles like David and Goliath, God has already given us what we need to win those battles today and in the future. You know, when I was flying into Bangkok for the very first time as a full-time missionary, I looked out over the masses of people, all the buildings, all the cars, and everything that was already established. And I heard a voice say to me, "Who are you? What can you do? Look at all these people. How can you change anything?" Those were obvious lies and attempts to stop me before I ever got started. And you know, it's just like Satan and the enemy. Whenever we start to try to do something, they want to stop us before we ever get started because they know the power of God and they cannot stop that. Now, as I reflect on the goodness of God and how he brought us to Thailand, I remember a desire he planted into my heart when I was a very young man. When I was only 13 years old, God promised me that one day I was going to have a tree farm. Yes, I know that's really weird, but that's what he promised me. So when I went to study at university level, I went and studied and became a horticulturalist to help fulfill that dream and to the best that I could. And now I also manage 7 tree orchards on the land in Thailand. You know, a couple years ago, we had to cut a couple of those trees down. So of course, I counted the rings on the trees. And as I counted the rings on the trees, I came to the realization that those trees were planted halfway around the world the exact same year that God gave me a promise that one day I was going to have a tree farm. And that was over 20 years ago. Now, you know, God made sure they were planted there to fulfill his promise. And any promise that God gives you, he's going to fulfill it. Even though it may not look like it, you're changing the world. So we moved over there out of the necessity for a horticulturalist and other things. And God revealed to us, though, that the trees he desired to grow were not those trees. They were actually the children that we are privileged to serve every day. And we strive to see them flourish, grow, and to be fruitful because they are grounded and rooted in the word of God and of Jesus Christ. So our faithfulness and the use of our service and gifts that God has given us has allowed us to change communities on the other side of the world. Your prayer and financial gifts are doing the same. And we're very thankful for your generosity and for the support that we have here at our home church, River City Church. Mm-hmm. So you might be asking yourself, what can I do? There's 2 easy things that you guys can do. There's 1 is to pray and the other is to give. And if you can give us some prayer requests, please.
Okay. We want to lift up all of our teams that work with Life Impact International. They have a mission to prevent, rescue, and heal children. And so for the prevention team, please pray for them that they'll receive wisdom to understand how to best serve those communities that they work in daily and to reduce the risk of child trafficking. Please also pray for the rescue team, for their safety, for their mental health, and for discernment with each case that they encounter. And also pray for the mental, physical, and spiritual healing of the rescued children, especially those that are brought into the emergency shelter because they've experienced extreme trauma. And please continue to lift up our family in prayers as we serve there daily. Thank you.
So all the building projects that we talked about and the ones in the future are funded by donors who donate to Life Impact. However, we are responsible to raise our own support to stay on the mission field. Any gift is beneficial to help us stay there, to help make room for the rescued. And we thank you guys very much.
Yes, thank you.